back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager. You can find the abstract listening to hip hop. My pops used to say it reminded him of bebop. I said, well, daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way the Bobby Brown is just amping like Michael. It's all expected, things are for the looking. If you got the money, Quest is for the booking. Come on, everybody, let's get with the fly mode. Still got room on the truckload of black gold. Listen to the rhyme to get a mental picture of this black man, black woman picture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Spin Class, a couple clueless Caucasians critiquing the classics. I'm Andy Dare. Over there on the left coast, Tyler Kale. How you doing?
Hey, I am great, and I'm really proud of myself today for holding to this schedule. It wasn't without a bunch of bitching and moaning. The listener should know that because I had to change the time a bunch of times, but we're on the bi-weekly, no, it's not bi-weekly, is it bi-weekly?
Yeah, we're trying to do bi-weekly here, so.
Does bi-weekly mean twice a week or every 2 weeks?
That's a good point. No, I think it's every 2 weeks, yeah.
Two clueless Caucasian guys with GEDs, that's what this show should be called.
Nice, but yeah, today we are digging deep into the crates. And, I mean, if DJs still have crates anymore, I think they all got that Serato thing, the fake turntable with their laptop hooked up to it.
Right.
I had a roommate in college only 11 years ago, and I would get free drinks all night if I just carried his crates, which sounds like a good deal, but those crates get really heavy, and especially when you have to wait around till 2 a.m. after a few drinks carrying three crates of vinyl records. That's quite an exercise, actually.
Yeah, I get the... And curls are for the girls, you know?
That's true. But yeah, today it's 1991. It is A Tribe Called Quest. It is their second album called The Low End Theory.
Is this really 91? Goodness gracious. Yeah, that is... I was eight.
Nice. I was around that same age. And yeah, it is pretty dated in some areas. There is a whole song about his sky pager.
Sky pager, that's right. The S in the sky pager stands for sex.
Yeah, and he says, like, you text 69 if you want to meet up for that, too, and all this stuff. Like, well, it's really the first cell phone, really.
It is. Well, it's dangerous. I always say, like, as a writer, even though I'm kind of retired, I've hung it up a little bit. But it's dangerous when you're writing about stuff like Snapchat, you know? Like, it's going to be irrelevant. Like, you have to write about timeless stuff, stuff that holds up forever. You can't be writing about, like, Instagram. That shit doesn't work. And that's what these, like, Fetty Waps and, like, Drake, who's doing an impression of him. Like, that new song is, like, a Saturday
Night
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he's doing an impression of himself. What do they call that? Jump the shark. But yet people love it. So who's the joke really on? Like, I don't know. It feels like it's on me.
Yeah, I feel like the Sky Pager song was probably outdated. And this was 91, so I'd say probably 96 that's outdated. People had car phones. People started getting cell phones about that time, right?
Yeah, I had my first cell phone was like mid-2000s, I would say, so I did not have a cell phone in the 90s. It might have been because my parents wouldn't let me, I don't remember. Yes, I will not let my kid have an iPhone, sending naked pictures. I mean, can you imagine? That's all I would have done is naked pictures. Like, if I'm 16 with a cell phone and Snapchat, now Snapchat, this is another problem I have. Like, it's become, like, I used to exclusively use that for, like, sexting, and now, like, everyone has one and is documenting their lives. It's become, like, ultra perverted. It's adjacent to, like, your mom having Facebook. How long before she has Snapchat? Like, I can't take it. It's making me crazy.
It is true. Both my parents, they're on Facebook way more than I am, too.
I don't like it. Soon they're going to be sending selfies on set. I don't like it. It's wrong. It's perverted.
It does feel a little dirty. And
yeah,
but like, I never had a pager. I was kind of too young for that. But yeah, my first couple cell phones, one was called a StarTAC, and it was a black fold-up phone, no color, just in fact, I never even texted on it. It was just calls only, and it had the little pull-out antenna. But yeah, Sky Pager, pretty interesting a sign of the times for 91. A weird thing about this album is it's really the first, and this band itself, the first rap group to fully embrace jazz. I feel like Run DMC turned their back on black music. They wanted to be like rockers, kind of.
That's right.
Heavy metal guitars and stuff like that, party with Aerosmith. And then other stuff you had was more like minimal dance beats, like Planet Rock and other stuff like from New York City was kind of minimal dance beats, but they truly embraced samples and jazz music in general, right?
Well, it stands out especially to me as like at that time I was listening to like gangster rap, okay, and they're talking about like shooting each other and like a fucking hose
and George Clinton based music instead of jazz, more funk, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly right. And this was like so different from that. It was like even Q-Tip's voice lent itself to jazz. It was crazy. It was new to me. Like I didn't even hear their first one, the one with what's it called, the Wallet and El Segundo.
Actually re-released it, a deluxe box set. They should click through the Andy Dare Show and check that one out. But I think they really came into full fruition on their second album.
Yeah. That's right. Well, it was their first to me. I mean, imagine, I was 9 years old. I didn't know, like, there was no internet. Even if I wanted to look it up, like, you'd have to go to the record store and, like, go through the catalog, you know? And I don't know. I can remember listening to it for the first time. It was like rap, but not rap.
Very true. Like, I actually found this out in, like, 98, 99 when I was... My buddies were interested in skating and skate videos and stuff like that. And the skaters didn't really like the gangster rap. They liked this jazz rap like Gangstar, A Tribe Called Quest, The Roots, all that stuff.
What about, what's it called? Eric Sermon. What was that group called? I love that group.
Oh, yeah. EPMD.
EPMD. Yeah. It was his name.
Yeah.
Like the other guy was Parrish Smith, right?
He sounded like he just woke up. It was like lazy rap, but it was good too.
Yeah.
But this album, yeah, as I said, like Q-Tip, totally original voice. Fife Dawg is really short friend who they would go back and forth like smooth as butter, it seemed like, right?
Oh, wasn't there a song called Butter on here?
I think so.
It's still my favorite tag team rap combo besides not counting what's it called, Nas and what's his name on that
AZ.
Yeah, AZ.
But I mean, what's Q-Tip up to now? I think he actually is signed with good recordings through Kanye West. I believe he has an album coming out soon, maybe next year. But he's really the godfather of all that Kanye West stuff and backpack rap like Talib Kweli.
That's right. Talib Kweli like talks about him all the time as his idol. Like,
oh, he owes him his living. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But Fife Dawg, what's he up to? I'm sure he's doing A&R for Interscope or something like that. I don't know, really.
He has my favorite line on the whole album. He says, bust in your eye, now you got, like, you can see where I come from. Like, that is so good. I'll bust a nut in your eye so you can see where I come from. And then he has one where he says, he busts on the couch, now you have Siemens furniture. And there used to be a furniture store called
Siemens. Yeah, I remember that. Nice.
Like, he has the two best lines on the whole album. And why I really related to him was he always wore the jerseys. Like, you could always, when you tuned into the video, he would have, like, the fresh Emmett Smith, you know?
Nice.
He'd have everybody. He had everybody's jersey, but he was short. Like, he was the original Turtle. Turtle is based off, like, Turtle is, like, the photo negative of Fife Dawg, you know?
Nice, but now that I think about it, Fife Dawg was rocking the jerseys and maybe that starter gear and stuff like that.
That's right.
Q-Tip was... He was back to Africa with his, what is it, a mumu and like just all true African garb.
Yeah, he looked like that wrestler, Prince Azir Akeem, whatever. Well, wasn't that his name? The big fat guy. He would wear that shit.
I wonder what like Eazy-E was thinking when he saw Q-Tip like wearing like this African garb. Did he think that was completely stupid? I don't know.
Probably.
But it was a whole movement. Like this, I guess it was called Native Tongues. Where you have A Tribe Called Quest, you have De La Soul, which was a completely original group. I would totally do one of their albums.
Yeah.
A couple that Gangstar, I guess, is considered it. But it was just a weird back to Africa thing where they were proud to be where they were from. You know, didn't trust the modern politics of the white man going down in the inner cities. It was as Spike Lee was, I'm sure, a big part of the movement, you know, do the right thing, right?
Yeah. Rosie Perez dancing in the beginning is still one of the greatest moments of all time. And that was Public Enemy.
Nice. Yeah. Fight the Power. They kind of, another political group, less jazzy, more angry, it seems like, right?
Yeah. Well, right. That was the contrast. Like, that's the stuff that I liked at that time. And then I heard Tribe Called Quest, and I was like, oh, he was, like, more like me, Q-Tip, you know?
Yeah, they're more, they're less angry, they're more funny, and they're, you know, it's just a good mixture of everything together, it seems like.
And they have Busta Rhymes on that album, don't forget.
It's pretty much his big entrance into the game, I think. I mean, he had an earlier group, I know, but I think that that was his big first spotlight on him.
It was reminiscent of, it always reminds me of this, I may be the only one, but Ja Rule at the end of Can I Get a Fuck You?
And
it,
nice.
It launched him into the stratosphere, and here with Busta, I mean, Q-Tip set him up when that, I don't even remember what track it was, but he was talking about Busta Rhyme. That was like that intro is in the house, and then he throws it to him a couple times.
Nice. It's good. A scenario, right?
Scenario, that's it. Yes, very good.
It's the last song, and I believe Busta's voice is the last one to be heard on the entire album.
Yeah. Very good. We should write the Wikipedia for
Christ. Well, actually, I'm glad you mentioned it. Now it's time for our little Wikipedia read. The most trusted source on the internet, we'll do a little read. Here is the Low End Theory. The group continued to gather a loyal fan base through touring and guest appearances, such as on De La Soul's A Roller Skating Jam Named Saturdays. The second album, The Low End Theory, was released on September 24th, 1991, with Check the Rhyme as the lead single. Based around a sample from Average White Band's Love Your Life, the song largely established the vocal interplay between Q-Tip and Fife Dog. Until then, it was most of the group's songs had only featured vocals by Q-Tip. I did not know that.
Yeah,
the two MCs began to focus on a range of social issues, from date rape, the infamous date rape, to consumerism, Sky Pager. The songs were noticeably shorter, more abrupt, and bass-heavy. Guests on the album included leaders of the New School, which included Busta Rhymes, Brand Nubian, and Vinnie Mojica. Their innovative sampling, layering, and structuring of jazz records led many critics to label their style as jazz rap, a term which Q-Tip disapproved of, as he felt that while it described groups such as Stetsasonic, well, it misinterpreted A Tribe Called Quest, who, aside from the song Jazz We've Got, did not base their songs around jazz. That's weird, because I think most of the songs are based around jazz, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, there you go. That's Wikipedia for you.
Nice.
Listen to the album, you a-holes.
Nice. But yeah, I think it still stands as something completely of its time. There's nothing that's really sounding like this now. Not even the Roots are like this jazzy. Not even, I mean, I don't know who else would be doing it, but.
Me neither. Certainly not like anything that's out right now on the radio. My God, that shit is trash. Sorry, I digress.
Nice. And we will be right back with Spin Class. Check it out.
Days on the boulevard I landed. We used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract,
and me, the five-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine that we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean?
A tidbit, a smidgen. I don't get the message, so you got to run the pigeon.
All right, we are back with Tyler Kale, Spin Class, Episode 6, The Low End Theory by A Tribe Called Quest. And yeah, as I was saying, I think this album pretty much stuck out like a sore thumb in 1991. We had gangster rap, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube. Then, you know, it was just not something that picked up that well. I don't know if this even was a big seller. Was it a hit? I don't even know.
It had to be a hit if it was on my radar. How did I find? Imagine my like 9-year-old self getting it on my radar. Like, it had to be like at the front of the store. One of my friends had to show me, so it had to be at least a marginal success.
They were on Jive Records, which was a huge thing. I mean, it would eventually even go on to do like the boy bands and stuff like that in the late 90s. I think there was a lot of major label money backing them, but yeah, I mean, Q-Tip had star power, but I don't know. I wouldn't call them massive celebrities even now or back then.
Yeah, no. I like if like Fife Dog was on your street, you wouldn't recognize him. You know what I mean? Unless he was wearing like a Tom Brady throwback or something.
He could go to like a Summer Jam concert, walk through the place, and I don't think he'd be hassled too much.
Yeah. No. I mean you couldn't even see him. Like he really is 5 foot tall.
And Q-Tip as well. I think he didn't do that many interviews. I don't think he was always on MTV. He wasn't the outspoken guy like Tupac, who was, you know, really interested in creating controversy, creating headlines. Q-Tip kind of just laid back and let the music speak for itself.
Well, you got to watch, what's it called? Michael Rapaport, one of my favorite guys. He did a documentary. I think it's called Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
Yeah,
I should have looked this up before I got on the air. But yeah, it's outstanding. It's really, really good. And you can get like a look in on all their lives. It's great. It's like getting in a time machine. I love that shit.
Yeah, I will put a link up in the show notes. But it's a great flick. Michael Rapaport, one white guy that really knows his black culture. I mean,
well, hell
I'm
yeah.
Sure, he's from the Bronx, or is he from New York, right?
Well, I just remember him as being in all those black movies. Like he was like the lone white guy in every single black movie.
Except wasn't he like the school shooter in one of the movies, like Dangerous Minds or something like that? Or no.
He was not in Dangerous.
Remy. He was Remy in something. I'll text you it later. But
yeah, I don't think he's in Dangerous Minds.
Because he's got that Aryan look.
Totally. Higher Learning? Is that what you're saying?
Higher Learning. That's what it is. Yeah.
That's the shooter one. But you also have to remember he was in Zebrahead, which was like, that got him all the cred with all the blacks, you know?
Like it is true, yeah.
he is the man. He's great. And he was on... my favorite, I know this is a huge digression, but I always say the hardest I've ever laughed in the history of podcasts, like podcasts from the beginning. Like I started listening to podcasts in like 2007. Bill Simmons was the first one I heard, and that's how I got turned on to Corolla. And Rappaport was recently on the Bill Simmons podcast. This is number two. This is the silver medalist in the hardest I've ever laughed.
Nice.
Number one was Dave Damashek. I know our listeners love this shit because this is what they know about us, is because they love podcasts. It was Dave Damashek and the Ed. You could pick just about any Ed performance with Damashek, and it's like the greatest of all time. But there was one in particular when he went on Dave's of Thunder. It was the one time he was allowed on Dave's of Thunder. That's the all-time greatest. I can't remember what was said, but it's the funniest.
All those are up on the archive.org too. I got to check those out again. You know,
I worked on that show, just FYI to the listeners. listen, but Rappaport went on the new Bill Simmons show, which is called the Bill Simmons podcast, and he has this story about Sylvester Stallone calling Burgess Meredith a world-class stick man, which is like a stick man as in Coxman.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I just fucking died. It is out. It is about as good as it gets as far as like insider stories versus like comedy material. Go listen to it.
And this is recent?
Oh yeah, it was nice. Like Monday or something.
Okay,
it's the only podcast I listen to right now.
Nice.
Offense, so. All right, that's it.
Pretty back awesome, to- but yeah, back like Rappaport had a great director's eye for this A Tribe Called Quest movie. Similarly, Colin Hanks just released a Tower Records documentary. I got a screener of that, and that's pretty awesome. It's good when the stars, they lay back. They don't, like, try to input themselves into the story of the documentary they're creating, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. And even Adam Carolla, he did a new one about Paul Newman in his career in racing. And Carolla only, he does a little bit of narrating at the end, or, like, a little bit of an interview part. He's never on camera or anything like that. That's a great documentary as well. So.
Well, that's one thing that's always been great about Corolla is he's a great, like, setup man. His personality isn't, like, to overwhelm everyone. Like, when he has good, funny guests on his show, he lets them be
He'll
the
lay
star.
Back, yeah.
Yes, he's awesome at that. Maybe he does get credit. I don't know what the public consensus is about that, but I remember...
The consensus is that he's a big mouth and that he walks over everybody, but actually that's not the reality. The reality is he's a comedic player, and he's got a background in improv, and he can actually like work with the guest and try to lay back and, as you said, set the guest up.
they need to listen to all the people that say that need to listen to, like, one time Kevin Pollak came on the show and he had him do his Christopher Walken impression. It was like Steve Nash 2.0, the way he was setting him up. Like, Kevin Pollak has never been set up like that in his entire life. It was like Lob City.
It's like John Stockton? Yeah, like, nice.
No, more like oops. Well, Stockton threw some oops, but yeah. Stockton was more of a crotch punch expert, you know? Nice. He was the original Chris Paul in that aspect, like that dirty player shit.
There we go. Nice. But, yeah, back to Tribe. Totally original sound. This is a great album. I think it stands the test of time. And it's weird. Sometimes things stand the test of time without being timeless. It's of its time, but it's also it also works in 2015. I don't know what else you could say about that. Like,
well, it's hard for me because, look, this was in, like, the breadbasket of me growing up. And, you know, if it came out in, like, 1981, it wouldn't have the same impact on me. I wouldn't talk about it so voraciously, you know. It's just we're a product of, like, where we are in our time. So to me, it's, like, it's killer and it holds up. But, like, to some punk-ass kid, like, 15 and a half, like, it might be bullshit, you know. Yeah. So
where the hell is the auto-tune? Where the hell is the mention of Scissorp and Adderall and codeine? And
that's right.
They smoke pot? What? They're so old school.
I know. So, but that's part of the appeal of this podcast, of our show, is that people should relate to it who are of our era the most.
That's true, know? And it would be really cool if a millennial picks up on it too, just to actually go do some homework, check out the Tupac, check out the first Jay-Z album, check out the second Tribe Called Quest.
That's right. It's a harder sell, though. I think people like us who love to learn about history are more rare. You know, people almost like what they know. They like what's current, but I don't know.
As in anything, you need to learn about the past before you can truly approach the present with a clear mind, I think. Any good author needs to read a lot. Any good musician needs to listen a lot. A radio DJ needs to hear other radio stations. You know?
Sure. I agree. You should know whose shoulders you're standing on. It's like if I didn't know about Swifty Lazar, how could I be a good agent?
Nice.
You know?
Yeah, I was interviewing this photographer. Now he's like one of the biggest photographers in the Midwest. He just did Bob Dylan, which a funny story about that was I asked him how it was for, photographing Bob Dylan. He goes, oh, it's super difficult. And I go, why is it super difficult? Bob Dylan has asked that all the lights in the whole arena are turned completely low, even on the stage, really dim lighting. And I go, that's really smart of Bob Dylan at age 74. Realizes he's not a good looking guy anymore. And we turn the lights down, and I thought that was pretty funny. But anywho, this photographer guy, his first time shooting a concert was Led Zeppelin in the 70s, and he goes, "Oh yeah, the whole time I was just with my established photographer friend, and I just watched him. I didn't watch the concert. I watched him the entire concert." Yeah.
How are you gonna be great if you don't study greatness? Remember, Tracy Morgan said that.
That is true. Yep. Good old Tracy. It was good to see him back on SNL, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Especially as that gay Animal Planet guy. What's his
name? Brian Fellows?
Is he supposed to be gay? Maybe he's supposed to be.
He's like retarded gay Animal.
If he didn't have, like, that would probably be cut from the show now by some activist. If he didn't have a track record of playing that character starting in, like, 97.
And having it do really well, then.
That's right. That's right. If someone pitched it now, they'd be like, oh, no, 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 no.
All right. Now I got the All Music review, and then
we'll go.
We'll be hitting the road.
Okay.
All right. All Music review. They gave it a 2-star? No, they gave it 5-star classic. While most of the players in the jazz rap movement never quite escaped the pasted on qualities of their vintage samples, with the low end theory, A Tribe Called Quest created one of the closest and most brilliant fusions of jazz atmosphere and hip hop attitude ever recorded. The rapping by Q-Tip and Fife Dog could be the smoothest of any rap record ever heard. The pair are so in tune with each other, they sound like flip sides of the same personality.
Oh my gosh.
Fluidly trading off on rhymes.
You know what it reminds me of now? Pippin and Jordan. That's the comparison.
It is true. Wow.
A Okay, go on. Sorry to interrupt.
With the former earning his nickname, The Abstract. I forgot about that, too.
Yeah.
And Fife concerning himself with the more concrete issues of being young, gifted, and black. The trio also takes on the rap game with a pair of hard-hitting tracks, Rap Promoter and Show Business. The latter, a lyrical sound clash with Q-Tip and Fife, plus Brand Nubian's Diamond D, Lord Jamar, and Sadat X. The woman problem gets investigated as well on two realistic yet sensitive tracks, Butter and the infamous Date Rape. The productions behind these tracks aren't quite skeletal, but they're certainly not complex. Instead, Tribe weaves little more than a stand-up bass, sampled or on one track, jazz luminary Ron Carter, and crisp live-sounding drum programs with a few deftly placed samples or electric keyboards. It's a tribute to their unerring production sense that, with just those few tools, Tribe produced one of the best hip-hop albums in history, a record that sounds better with each listen. The Low-End Theory is an unqualified success, the perfect marriage of intelligent flowing raps to nuanced, groove-centered productions. Five stars by allmusic.com. Check them out for good music reviews. Study up on there.
Yeah, can I just say that this was a good idea by you, if we can toot our own horn, to read that? Because that was really good.
Yeah, because I can't always provide the good insight. I kind of just like having that just as a little bit of a guide. It's kind of nice, because then it also can give you ideas to talk about and stuff like that. So
it is, and it's like I can't talk about anything without a huge digression into like sports or Bill Simmons or something. So that puts us right back on the track. But this show is, it's my last vestige of, I was just lamenting this to someone, my last vestige of the entertainment, like of myself as an entertainer, you know.
Sure. Yeah, you've now passed the baton, and you're looking to help others with their careers, and I think that's awesome.
But
every once in a while, you got to just do your own thing as well and have fun, you know.
I know. I love it. It makes me want to stop going to stand-up shows and just take the stage. But I'm too good-looking, so I can't.
Okay, nice. We will do plugs, and then we will say if we think it holds up. SpinClassPodcast.com. That's actually got all the episodes in a nice, organized fashion. You can just listen there. It's super easy. Or we're on iTunes. That is actually on. You got to go to AndyDare.com and go through all that stuff.
What?
Instagram and Twitter, Andy Dare, Tyler Kale.
Yeah. And Dopspot. That talk about stuff that holds up. I mean, that shit is still Claude Monet level art. But I haven't.
Hey, maybe we could do a little hip hop related doppelganger every once in a while, just to tie in.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I have KRS-One and Al Jefferson off the top of my head. Go look that up. They look
sweet. Tweet that out. We'll share it with the crew. And Steph Curry and Billy Joe Armstrong, you got to get on that. Every time I look at the kid, I love hearing Shaquille O'Neal had him on his podcast. That is pretty hilarious. Try to find that if you can. It's on podcast1.com.
Shaquille O'Neal has a podcast.
Yes. He goes, Steph, you're so cute. You're just like a little baby. I want to put you in my pocket and stuff.
That man is a bad man, though. This is like unreal, his performance. He's the best player in the league, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And he has skinny arms. I mean, he has arms like Jesse Pinkman, yet he's just
he weighs
like
175, right?
Yeah. Super skinny. Super. Do you think he could bench 185? I doubt it.
Yeah. And but it's weird to think that Jordan, his first championship, he was 190, right? 195?
Yeah, true. But different era, though. There were no guys like, well, Karl Malone's like the only one I can think of who was built like today's NBA players. But then you have Tim Duncan, who's like super skinny, too.
Dominique Wilkins, maybe, or I don't. Yeah, there's a couple guys back then that were big. But there was no supplements. There was no GNC. There was a blended egg drink.
That's right. And they were like wearing like different shoes. They had like Chuck Taylors on. Can you imagine playing basketball on Chuck Taylors?
High tops? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Nice. But before we digress, okay, Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory, does it hold up, Tyler Kale?
Yes, 100% it does. It's awesome. If you don't like it, you're stupid.
Yeah, this is kind of a weird question to end it on, because why would we pick this album if we thought maybe eventually we'll have an album that we just, coming back to it, we didn't really like as much. But
do we like it or does it hold up, I guess, are different things. And you said before, like Sky Pager, it doesn't, I wouldn't say it holds up, but it's fucking awesome. It's so good.
The personality and like the passion behind it hold up, and and with the whole album, I listened to it at once or a whole playthrough, and then I had to go back and listen to it again. It's great. And talk about the chemistry between the two MCs. You don't see that nowadays.
No. Yeah. It's all me, 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 me. There's no setup, give, take. It's me, me, me.
No, 24 years have come and gone, and this still holds up. Check it out. Hopefully they'll have new music coming in the future. Check us out, SpinClassPodcast.com, if I can get it out of my damn mouth.
I like Spodcast. Spodcast. Nice.
But yeah, AndyDare.com. Any last words, Tyler?
No, thanks for listening. It means a lot.
Sweet. And this has been Spin Class Podcast, a couple clueless Caucasians critiquing the classics.
Well, what do you know? The Diddog is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holes barred. No time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't fly.